You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL podcast would happily trade the boss for Lindsey Rhodes.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. I'm Greg Rosenthal, joined by a couple of heroes, Mark Sessler and Chris Wesseling.
Hey, Greg.
So Dan Hansis, normally hosting the show, and will host every single show forever once they trade me for Lindsey Rhodes, apparently. He's feeling a little under the weather. He was here at work today. He tried to battle through it. We sent him home. It's, you know, free agency's calming down and we can run this ship.
He came in, he pumped out a post. You know, his hair looked good as always, but one thing that Wes, that you and I have noticed today, is that the boss, he's got some nice hair.
Oh, where are you?
I don't know. It was all scraggly, you know, but apparently at some point this week you squeaked in and you got a haircut in the makeup room, which is an unheard of action for low-level talent of our ilk.
Well, I believe what happened here is that Greg is leaving us behind. This is a power move where he has said he's important enough to go into the makeup room and just demand a haircut.
They give you free haircuts if you're Lindsey Rhodes or if you're someone high up on the food chain, but we did not know that we were able to have that service. Probably we aren't. You are.
I'm going to grow my hair out just so I can avail myself of that service.
That was the thing. My hair looked terrible, and the stylist there, you know, he just thought he needed some help, so he offered. So I'm not going to say no to a free haircut.
Oh, he set this in motion.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. I mean, he offered, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, talk about it, but Michael Fabiano came over to our cubes today.
Cube farm.
He brought it up that I was in the hair chair. I don't think that's a bad move. I mean, I just saved an hour of my life. I got two kids. That's more time I can go home or do work or whatever.
TD, a diva move?
Complete diva move, but hey, think you can hook me up with a haircut?
I know. It was a great haircut, by the way. It was awesome. I actually did feel awesome leaving that, being like, I can't believe I just got a haircut at work. This is outstanding.
It's kind of a game changer.
Oh, you save some dough, and it saves time.
I might top
that's why you're the boss.
Do at work. You can play hoops, which we actually have a hoop out here. You can go out and shoot some hoops sometimes. I think getting a haircut might be top of the list.
Next on the list, we need a fitness center.
little massage center.
Speak for yourself.
So it has been a big week for me, of course, with the haircut. Also, got a big show coming up today. We got a lot of news. Not quite as much news as the last four power-packed free agency shows, and that's good. So we can talk more generally what teams got better in free agency and what teams got
worse.
I'm just
playing this because I know Dan, if he was here, shout out to Dan, he'll be screaming some throwing of easy music for you.
Well, I like how you're throwing a shout-out to Dan when right before the show you've just realized he was not joining us, and TD said he could kick back and relax, that there would be less pressure on TD today.
And spread his wings, he said.
Oh, my gosh. That's not right. We're
just
not
playing. You know, Dan's a good guy, but sometimes, you know, you just need to kick back, you know. He's messaging me way too much sometimes, but
we're not celebrating that at all. Wes looks angry right now.
Not angry at all.
Okay, I don't know.
More of a pensive look.
Okay, I thought you were standing up for our fearless host, who we do hope feels better. I think he's been swallowing up so much of this Jets hype garbage for the last week that he, you know, doesn't feel good. You know what I'm saying?
It's toxified the body. You're saying
I am. All right, TD. Let's do a little news.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
Is that John Travolta?
Yes, it is. Greg totally messed that up, you know, because I sent an email to Dan. I'm like, hey, make sure you say, Greg, come on, man.
You want to do it again?
Yeah,
wait, now you're upset Dan's not here.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again, Greg.
What did you say? You just said, make sure you say your name in the news. I said it.
At the very last part of it. Let's try it again.
Let's do some news, TD.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
A good producer would know the first time around was great. It was fine. Everyone got it. Now you just wasted the whole minute. Give me a break.
I missed Dan already.
All right, let's start with the most surprising news of the last few days, and that was Monday night when we learned Chris Borland retiring from the NFL, linebacker who led the league in tackles for the weeks that he was starting. You know, he wasn't in the starting lineup early his rookie season. He missed the last couple games with an ankle injury. But in between, when he was starting, he was the league leader in tackles by a wide margin, and he's decided to retire essentially over future health concerns. You know, he's done a lot of research into brain injuries, and he just decided for him it was the right choice to step away from the game at 24. There's been a lot of conversation about this last couple days. Mark Sessler, what was your first reaction?
Man, I was surprised. I was home. It was like, what, evening on the West Coast? Not a whole lot happening on Twitter. Then that thing dropped. And I mean, I think we all of us with Borland last year, it was around that Rams game, week six or week seven, when he had started to see more snaps, where when we checked him out on Game Rewind, wow, he just was a different kind of player and a forceful one. And also, everyone, all they've ever said about him, he loves football. Football was his life. So to make this decision from him, especially not some fringe guy, mm-hmm. but someone who really looked like he had an extremely bright future, it's a discussion piece based on that alone.
Well, he's a player with his physical limitations. He knew that his playing style was going to be more conducive to health concerns. He had to play at a higher level. Mm-hmm. He had to be more physical than most players.
Well, that was what defined him, was how physical he was. And that really struck me, because if you read the article on ESPN, which was really well done, that he started having concerns in training camp when he thought he might have fought through a concussion or some sort of head injury. He wasn't sure because he wanted to make the team. He didn't want to report it. And yet he was having these concerns. He wrote a letter to his parents that he doesn't think he's going to be long for the NFL. That was before the season. And yet he went out there when he was on the field. You would have never guessed that. It wasn't like a guy that played with any caution, that he played with total abandon for the year he was out there.
Yeah, and I think one of the dichotomies of football is that since it started as oversized coal miners and psychopaths in the 1920s and 30s, it's been the fringes of society. And for most of the time that football has happened, it hasn't been little kids eating Twinkies and riding in their mom's minivan who grew up to be, outside of quarterbacks really, who grew up to be football players. It's been players who need it, who need that opportunity for the money. And I think Borland's an example of somebody who has options.
It also reminded me a little bit of the 1960s and 70s. There were a lot of players that were backing out of the NFL at younger ages, not because of concussions, but more because they didn't agree with the social ramifications.
George Sauer of the Jets, Dave Megsey.
Right. There was a number who, you know, kind of coming out of the 60s that were really anti-establishment and kind of against what the NFL stood for. And this is different. This is more of a health concern, but it struck me. It reminded me a little bit of that.
Go ahead.
No, I also, from another angle, I kind of cannot stand Twitter. And what happened with this issue on Twitter over the next 12, 24 hours is a classic reason, because people wanting to overly praise him and overly judge him, where it's like, look, he made his decision. That's sort of the start and the end of it. And wanting to link it to the other young retirements that have happened, when really those situations were each completely different.
Right. And what else is there to say other than more power to him?
Exactly.
Like, what else can you say than that? Damashek was pointing this out. What else can you say other than you respect that decision, more power to him? And
there's room for nuance in this story, but Twitter isn't the place to get that. Twitter's the place to get affirmation for your own opinions.
Right.
And I think, to me, the interesting part of these discussions is there is another side of it that Pete Gent, if you've read North Dallas 40, one of the greatest football books, he talks about in the beginning the physicality of the game and that how alive he felt, that he felt more in one Sunday than he felt later on in entire years. Mm. So how do you put a price on that, and what is worth it? I think it's a question. It's the most interesting question about this whole dilemma.
Well, it's a question every NFL player has to make. And the reality is there's probably a lot of Chris Borlands out there, but they take themselves out of the mix well before they get to the NFL.
Yeah, totally.
Because, I mean, it is a tough decision to decide to play. I mean, football's no joke. That's why we're writing about it. I mean,
that's why.
Well, I guess there's a lot of reasons.
Well, and
there's a lot of reasons why. No, what I mean is that we're not playing it. That it takes a certain type of person, and you brought it up, the background too. I think another great book about football is Bringing Down the House. Do I have the name right? About the 1988 through 90s Eagles.
Bringing the Heat.
Bringing the Heat. I'm an idiot.
That Mark Bowden.
I just
if Dan were here, he would know we are nerding out big
right.
time at the moment.
By the way, and I just mentioned a Queen Latifah movie, I think, instead of the book I meant. But they talked about what they called the sluice, and it was like the amount of people that start out playing football in seventh grade and how that just keeps getting whittled down, and just what a lottery and what a miracle it is to somehow make it to the NFL from all those people battling. And it's amazing to see a guy who – at this point hasn't been injured in the NFL to make that decision about his health.
I think this is one thing people didn't talk about, and Chris just mentioned it. I mean, he has other options. And,
right.
And it's not just the physical sensation of Sundays like you mentioned in that book, but it's the adulation that comes along with being on the field and hoisted up. To walk away from all that and money and everything else, that's why it's completely an outlier type move on his part.
At this point,
he's got other options.
Yeah, at this point. He says he wants to get into sports management, which is interesting. I mean, I take that to mean being an agent or something like that,
yeah.
Maybe going back to school. Quickly, let's hit on the 49ers aspect of this, that they lose another inside linebacker just after they lose Patrick Willis. It's been kind of a disastrous offseason for them. We'll get to that later. Are you worried about the middle of their defense?
Absolutely. I mean, Patrick Willis was a six-time All-Pro. Navarro Bowman hasn't played since he shredded his knee. He's a giant question mark. Chris Borland was in the Rookie of the Year race despite playing only half the season. Those are three of, you could say, top 10 inside linebackers in the NFL.
Yeah, and they were diverse. And then, you know, they wanted to trade away because they were so deep at one point, or maybe they didn't like this guy, Michael Wilhoit. But he's not going to get traded at this point. He's got to stay right there and probably starts opposite of Bowman next season, unless they go and get someone. The one thing
he's
about
not
the
a
Niners,
bad player, from what at least they think he's not a bad player. They
no,
he's, always like
no. He's a decent, but you're going from
right.
The best of the best to a decent starter.
They have done. I mean, Balke found Borland in the third round, and the Niners the year before he was the GM found Bowman in the third round. So they know what they want, and they've done a good job landing these guys without having to burn the highest possible pick. But now this team has a lot of needs suddenly, and you're drafting. For need over the best player available, potentially.
Right, and they've lost a lot of people up the middle of their defense. Ray McDonald is gone now. Justin Smith is probably going to go, although we don't know that for sure right now, and then the two inside linebackers. So it's been a rough offseason for the 49ers. Could it be a rough offseason for Philip Rivers fans in San Diego? This dropped yesterday, and to me it was the most interesting and surprising news of the week. Philip Rivers said that the Chargers couldn't do anything between now and the season to make him sign a new contract, that he plans to play the season out and see what happens. That kind of blew my mind. Like, really? They're paying you $22 million a year, that wouldn't do it for you? Could Philip Rivers be an ex-Charger by the end of May?
It's
after
possible.
The draft?
As part of that article in the UT San Diego by Kevin Acey, a really good article. There are rumors flying, he said, rampant speculation brewing that the Chargers are into Marcus Mariota. And to me, if you want to get into some dot connecting, who number two pick overall is the Titans. They have a chance of getting Mariota. They also have Cam Wisenhunt, who was the play caller during Philip Rivers' 2013 Comeback Player of the Year. And Nashville isn't far from where Philip Rivers grew up. He apparently, the gist of that article was Philip Rivers really likes the South and isn't crazy about L.A.
Only problem is you're then the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, there's a lot of dot connecting. It's not just by us. You know, I talked to someone in the NFL Media News Group this morning, and this conversation had been out there. And the move to Los Angeles – for the Chargers, the potential move to Los Angeles is kind of hovering over things. And Rivers and AC even made it clear that, you know, they might not be a big fan if they move to Los Angeles.
Not might not be.
Right, that he wants to see where the franchise is in a year in terms of their roster and, like, literally where will they be, that could be a factor.
Shocking that a man with a giant collection of bolo ties might not see himself fitting in L.A.
L.A. accepts all types, but I think he wants to go somewhere. San Diego, by the way, is not, you know, Bumpkinville out in the hill country.
No, it's nice.
There are a passel of country music songs from the outlaw country days until recently of men bemoaning L.A.
Mm. What about Bigfoot West? You guys have been there. That's like a country
that
bar,
is
right?
Not a country.
That is
Come
not
on.
A country bar.
No, that's a hipster haven.
It's the closest thing I go
you
to.
You could, like, peel off the fake wood and see what it was before.
Go to a country bar. So Ken Wisenhut's there, and, you know, the talk in Tennessee, the talk, you know, around this Rivers thing is that Ken Wisenhut would move heaven and earth to go get Phillip Rivers, and it makes all the sense.
Why wouldn't he?
Right, makes all the sense in the world. Ken Wisenhut knows another 2-14, and his head coaching career in the NFL could be over for good. He knows Rivers is legit, and he's got that number two pick. Mark, you have had a Sessler about Drew Brees getting traded this offseason. Could it be that your Sessler radar is, you know, just a little off?
Maybe I,
and instead of an ex-Chargers quarterback, it's the current Chargers.
That's possible. I mean, maybe I, you know, the roots of the organization he was once with is where this is actually fine-tuned. Maybe it's Rivers. I mean, the Titans, if they were not interested in Mariota at the Combine, the other thing they were saying with all their pretty built words about wanting a quarterback is that we will sell this pick.
Mm.
And if you're Ken Wisenhut and you're on your last legs potentially, you have to come to grips with the fact that, yes, you've done a nice job with top 10 veteran quarterbacks, the Kurt Warners, the Big Bens, the Phillip Rivers of the world, but you have done nothing with young quarterbacks. Do you want to hinge what is left in Tennessee on Marcus Mariota?
So you've done great with Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Yeah. But you're not so good with basically everyone else.
Curtain jerkers.
I love this, by the way. You're putting Mariota into the mix now as a potential trade on draft day. Phillip Rivers as a potential trade. The Chargers, you know, it could make, like, Dan Hansis believe that the Titans are a real NFL team and shut him up. I mean, it'd be – this is great.
Greg's out of his seat.
He's out of his seat.
I'm just saying, it'd be a little intrigue. It sounds
– out of his throne of ease.
And after what happened last week, why would anything like this shock us?
Right. I guess that's what I mean, is it felt like the NFL offseason was quieting down, and I really like this. And on some level, I don't know why the Chargers would really do it.
Well,
but if they really love Mariota, like the article says – who knows?
I don't think you can talk about this story without also mentioning that Chargers have, if they want Phillip Rivers there, he's going to stay there because they have the franchise tag to hit with him next year.
Right, and I didn't even clarify. He's under contract this year. That's the last year of his contract. And then you mentioned the franchise tag, which they would happily give him a one-year $20 million contract. I don't think they would mind doing
that. It wouldn't
that
be the last guy that was forced to move to L.A. for his job.
We've got two in this room.
I'm happily here, but you guys, man, we had to drag you here into Los Angeles.
That's an accurate statement.
I've totally enjoyed it, though. I'm embracing it. I like living in L.A., but you're right. I was more or less forced to move here.
I am slowly seeing the light. I am enjoying L.A.
TD, did you choose to live in Los Angeles?
No, actually, moving to L.A., I moved for the job.
Okay.
Started, like, a week after I moved.
Yeah, that's basically what I did. But I tried to do the job from New York for a year, and then they weren't that big of a fan.
I tried to stay in Georgia, and Greg told me to
That was never going to be an option. another guy being forced to move somewhere. I guess he made the choice. Charles Clay. He's moving from Miami to Buffalo.
Poor Charles Clay.
Yeah, Chucky. He signed an offer sheet with the Bills. They made it heavily front-loaded, $24.5 million over the first 2 years, so it is unlikely the Dolphins will match it. Most likely he will be Buffalo Bill by the end of the week. They have Sunday, until Sunday, to match it, and because of the rules of the transition tag, the Dolphins get nothing in return for him.
Well, the Bill structured this so it would hurt the Dolphins in 2016 when Sue has a monster cap figure, which was smart of the Bills because the Dolphins don't think that Clay is worth that kind of money.
I mean, I think if you're Miami and you just signed Jordan Cameron too, you have to look at bringing Clay on again as maybe more of a luxury than a necessity. Man, the money is kind of crazy for what he is. But Buffalo, man, they must have fallen in love with him. Clay has got some excellent PR operatives in his camp because he got into that NFL top 100 players of last season, and some people thought that was, you know, he's a good, I think he's a nice player.
Right.
But is he, you know, some of the people that were left out of that in favor of him?
Julio Jones.
Well, there he got the same guaranteed Calais money as Jimmy Graham did after holding out. I mean, he got.
What?
Right? He got $20 million guaranteed. That's what Jimmy Graham got. He got about the same as Julius Thomas, who made it to free agency.
And well, it's that Buffalo tax you're talking about right
and
there.
And I know that the total deal is only worth a little less than $8 million a year, but for the next 2 years, he's making 12 and a half a year. That's quarterback money. That is way more than Gronk or Jimmy Graham. That's like almost Calvin Johnson money for the next 2 years. And you hope that he stays healthy for the whole 5 years. But if he stinks or if he gets hurt next year, you have just paid Charles Clay quarterback money for 2 years when he might be your fourth leading receiver.
A team with no quarterback.
Right.
It's a lot of scratch for a guy who plays a position that doesn't exist in the NFL anymore.
Sammy Watkins is probably going to catch more than him. Percy Harvin, I would take over him. And LeSean McCoy will probably have more catches than him. It's crazy. But if you're a Bills fan, as much as they're spending a lot of money,
they're going for it.
I kind of like that how, you know, part of you has to like that they have a big league owner that's going to spend a lot. And maybe they'll make some big mistakes, but you would rather that than the alternative. The Bills are getting aggressive.
Well, if the Bills hadn't traded away their first-round pick, maybe they could have made a run at Phillip Rivers. You could put that team into the AFC's contention if you add him to the mix.
Ooh, I like that. One team that will not be in contention for anything other than perhaps the number one overall pick next year is the Oakland Raiders. They signed Trent Richardson to a 2-year contract worth a surprising amount of money. I think even the agent of Trent Richardson, I'll just say, was surprised about how much money he could extract for Trent Richardson. Your thoughts, Chris Wesseling?
They finally found somebody willing to take their money. Nobody else was going to give Trent.
What about Nate Allen? Some of these Raiders deals are crazy that have come out when the money comes out. They have been overpaying. There's been a Buffalo tax this offseason and an Oakland tax. To get their players there, they've been paying a lot. Mark is making a face.
Well, it's like you shouldn't have to tax someone to live in Northern California, but when you've got the Raiders situation, that's a nice little cutout. It's a difference.
It's like Curtis Lofton also got a lot of money. It's like no one else is giving Curtis Lofton that kind of money.
This is sort of – the Raiders have had this coming to them because I remember growing up in the 90s when there was a Cincinnati tax. Nobody wanted to go play for the Bengals, so guys like Warren Sapp would use the Bengals' interest to go drive up the price, then sign with the Raiders. Shoes on the other foot now, Raiders.
Well, the Raiders, I don't know about the guaranteed money. He might not even make the team. I mean, Latavius Murray and Roy Helu are much better players, so I don't expect Trent Richardson to be a big impact. Well, he's getting paid better. He's getting paid around the same as Helu.
Here's a stat for you.
Yeah.
Over 600 career carries for Trent Richardson. He has four runs over 20 yards in 600-some carries. Latavius Murray had 82 carries last year and had four runs over 20 yards.
Wow.
Latavius Murray
had more yards in one carry, I think, last year than Trent Richardson has ever had in his career.
There was so much heat about them going out and redoing their entire backfield, and Murray probably is the best guy they've had last year, this year already. They didn't have to do all that work, but one thing about this self-scouting in Oakland, you go out and get MJD last year, you throw money at him, you throw money at Darren McFadden, and now you've added Helu is fine. That's not a bad addition. But Trent Richardson, it's like, who is scouting running backs inside this organization? And from what year are they watching videotape?
It's the same person who was watching all of Matt Schaub's videotape last year and decided this would be a good trade target.
I do like, though, that there is something about the Raiders that is stuck since Al Davis is passing, that they're still kind of making moves that Al Davis would make. Isn't Trent Richardson an Al Davis move? Isn't Malcolm Smith an Al Davis move? Signing the big names that kind of failed elsewhere, the Super Bowl MVPs.
No, Al Davis was all about speed, and Trent Richardson's the slowest running back I've ever seen.
That's a fair point.
I feel like Richardson's just not been healthy, and he may never be healthy again to the point of where he was drafted. I mean, he's also too heavy. And what about Oakland and their offensive line and what we've seen from them is going to be everyone's called the Colts the best fit ever for him.
Well, I think
so.
Right. He said that he wasn't treated right, and someone pointed out that it was a bad marriage, and someone pointed out, like, essentially the Colts are a great catch. They are great looking. They're smart. There's everything you would want in a marriage would be the Colts for a running back.
Sure. Trent Richardson was out philandering.
He was a bad husband was the idea. I forget whoever's tweet this was. Well, I'm ripping it off.
Mark's right. The weight issues maybe hasn't been healthy, but you have to wonder about his mental. Whatever. He's delusional. He comes up to Jack Del Rio and says, oh, he said today, well, you know what? Jack Del Rio really gave me an epiphany by asking, what if I'm out of football? That thought never entered his mind until Jack Del Rio?
No, I don't think so.
He's been the laughing stock of the NFL.
Right, but he still probably sees himself as a star.
That's a total lack of self-awareness.
Well, and he's 24, so that's what happens with that age. I mean, you know, maybe.
Especially with millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, when you've been told up until 2 years ago.
Russell Wilson has that issue.
Well, but Russell Wilson's he's completely unusual in that situation.
Some 24-year-olds are ahead of others. You know, I know, Wes, you were out there searching for the meaning of life at 24.
I had just left the post office for the law firm.
I was living in a commune in Bolt, not a commune, but it was a farmhouse with about 12 people in it. So, you know, where was my head at, my parents probably thought.
I was, like, in between jobs. I had left L.A. after working in TV for a while, and I was teaching tennis for 6 months.
You sound like by far the most productive of the group.
Well, it didn't pay very well, I'll tell you that. You know who is getting paid well? How about that? Greg Hardy. Who would have thought he would have gotten so much money? He's going to be a Dallas Cowboy. What could go wrong? Greg Hardy in Dallas. I mean, this is a match
made in heaven. I like it.
Why do you like it?
Because I think the contract's smart. If he comes in and he plays and he's on the field a bunch and he produces, he gets paid a ton. And if he doesn't, you know, if there's any more off-the-field issues, he doesn't get paid much at all.
So the details here were he could make up to $13 million if he hits all his incentives. But $9 to $10 million were in per game roster bonuses. So this saves the Cowboys from paying Greg Hardy when he inevitably, we think, gets suspended. So he'll only end up making, you know, at most 10 games, you would think, of this salary. Although we're talking about things we don't really know. We don't know if he's going to get suspended 6 games. We don't know if he's going to get suspended 12 games.
And well, they're hedging their bets.
So that Cowboys built it in. I was really surprised that he even got this much money. I think they were bidding against themselves. I don't think anyone was going to pay Greg Hardy this kind of money coming off the year he had. With that all said, it's a gamble I think that's probably worth taking. He's a great pass rusher, and they'll have him motivated.
I thought of everyone who made it to the open market. This does not include guys that got the franchise tag. From a pure football standpoint, only Sue and Darrell Revis would be ranked ahead of Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be right up there. If you take that stuff away, he'd be right up there.
Well, it's funny you say that now. I'm the one that had him 6th overall in our original rankings, and you had him like 17th.
And I couch that by saying this isn't based on talent alone, that when you're purchasing free agents, you have to factor in suspensions and public image.
Is there anything, though, about the fact that if he does get suspended 6 games, that you're putting on the field suddenly a guy that hasn't played in 22 straight games?
That's why it's a bigger risk. You're right.
Yeah.
But it's also not an old guy. He's not an injured player. But you're right. You would think it's going to take him a while to get back up to speed. But we talked about that they didn't have a pass rush at all last year. And now they add Greg Hardy. And he's not a pass rusher. But they also hope to add Sean Lee to their front seven. So in theory, you're getting two of the best defensive players in the league from 2013.
Who are
still pretty young.
How about putting Sean Lee on a game-by-game contract?
This has got Wes thinking, great player point.
Well, they also lost their entire linebacker core.
Right.
From last year.
Bruce Carter, Justin Durant. Who else?
Rolando McClain.
Rolando McClain is a free agent. I think they'll probably bring him back. This also is a reminder, by the way. Everyone said, they can't pay anyone. You couldn't get Adrian Peterson. I mean, they're paying Greg Hardy a lot of money.
Find a way.
Can always find a way. The Ravens found a way to get rid of another player who got in trouble with the law. I believe this is the third player today that was arrested in the offseason that they have released. That player is Bernard Pierce, their backup running back during their Super Bowl run to Ray Rice. And now, of course, both players are off the team. He had a DUI after going out on St. Patrick's Day, and he is quickly off the roster.
Poor guy knew it was coming, too.
Why is that?
According to the arrest report.
Oh, that's right. What did he say? Well, tell the listeners.
Told the officers when they arrested him. You know, the last guy on this team to get arrested, they released him the next day.
And he's like, I know you guys don't care, just letting you know that's how it's going to be for
fate.
Me. And that, like clockwork. I remember at that being at that Super Bowl with you, Greg, and Pierce in that game, I was like, oh, you know, even if Rice slows down, they suddenly have the next guy right in here. He's an interesting running back. And then 2 years later, they're completely refurbished in the backfield.
Not to be cynical, but if he played better last season, I don't know if he's definitely cut in this situation. He was a disappointing player last season, really the last two seasons, ever since Dan ranked him very high on his offseason running back rankings a couple
of
years ago.
Well, that is unfair.
Coming off that Super Bowl.
That is unfair. I've got to stick up for Dan. That is not, you know, that's an ages-old post. He's not here, and you're trying to bury him.
Well, everyone that listens to, you know, we've got a couple listeners. By the way, thank you to our listeners. We should all thank all the people for making our show last Friday, recapping a lot of the free agency madness, the number one downloaded podcast in around the NFL history.
Ooh.
Big time. Come on, TD. That's it. You should give it my celebration song, remember?
I don't even know what your song is. There were many songs on here.
What about mine? You fired up on there?
Fire
and
launch. But anyways, thank you guys. The listenership keeps going up. And keep downloading. Tell your friends and give us reviews and stars. It all helps on the iTunes. We appreciate everyone.
Comments on iTunes, subscriptions, right. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Yeah, we appreciate everyone spreading the word. It's been working. It's been great.
There were 2,700 downloads from Chile. The city. I mean, the country.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
How do you know?
I dug into the hits, and I don't know what's going on down in South America, but something caught fire, and then there were a lot of people listening
it
to
is,
the show.
It is crazy. You can break it down by country, and it's wild, the different countries. There's always, like, four people in, like, Togo. Is that a place?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. There's always, like...
We're big in Togo.
Right. We love you four guys. They're just hanging out. They talk. They meet up. They talk out of the coffee
Maybe
shop.
They should invite us to Togo.
There's a lot of countries I never heard of that...
Hashtag on to Togo?
Yeah.
To go to Togo.
Like it.
Let's move on to a couple final quick news items that we'll get through quickly before we go to our free agency wrap-ups. Mark, you're going to be going to Phoenix in a few days. Connor Orr is also going with you. One of the topics in Phoenix will be all the rule proposals. You wrote up an article today on some of the rule proposals. I found it most interesting that the Colts proposed a 9-point possession. So you could score a touchdown, and then if you go for two and you get it, you could kick what would basically be a 50-yard field goal to get one more point. And that would be the 9-point possession.
I love it. It will never pass.
It's wild. I like how creative they were, that they just like made up some. It sounds like someone was drinking a lot.
Well, that sounds like a team that knows it's going to be down by 30-something points to the Patriots in the playoffs,
yes,
and needs to get back in.
Thanks for making that joke so I didn't have to. That's great. That one will never pass. That was insane.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
The more substantive ones were about instant replay and challenges, and everyone wants to get rid of or wants to add to what you can challenge. The Patriots would like to challenge everything. Literally, they said that you could challenge everything. Not the Lions made it more specific. They'd like to just challenge any penalty.
Why shouldn't the Patriots should just admit what they're doing? We want to make a football game 12 hours long.
Right, and that's part of the reason why it'll never pass. They could expand it to things like personal foul penalties, things like that. Were there any other big takeaways you had here?
I think the takeaway was that there weren't a lot of sexy potential rule changes, but they also said, which annoys me to no end, that the whole discussion, there's going to be no new rule about what a catch is.
Ooh.
They're going to sit around and have a conversation about the language in the rule book about what a catch is. To what, Wes, just make it three times murkier?
Yeah, they don't want to go to the root cause of the problem, which is that it's the most confusing role in all of sports. They just want to clarify the language.
The shadowy league figure.
It's entirely confusing. It's a lame role, and nobody knows what a catch is, including your referees, including your coaches, including your players, including your fans.
Ed Hockley has
changed
just entered
the role.
The studio.
But if you're at the Biltmore in Phoenix and you got some time to kill, why not sit around and just talk about it and do nothing about it?
There you go.
Patriots also proposing to move the extra point back again. I like that they're not giving up on this.
No.
And putting cameras on all sidelines and in the end zone and everything, which I think should pass one of these years. But
well, you're a huge lobbyist for that.
Well, it's insane. The most wealthy and influential sports league in the country by far, and we can't have cameras set up at the goal line at every stadium. I mean, that it seems like a very small thing to ask for.
Oh, one other one. They want to have coaches no longer use the red challenge flag.
And
they would call a timeout.
They would call a timeout instead, and they get the timeout back. I like that.
No more red flag for Chris Wessling.
That helps Lovie Smith, Marvin Lewis, Andy Reid. Helps a few of these coaches.
I don't know. It puts a little more pressure on taking those timeouts. But ultimately,
why is it hard for them to fish around in their pocket for the red flag?
But yeah, I'm probably wrong about this. Greg's right. They could lose a timeout automatically instead of through the machinations of the rule.
Right. It'll punish them more, so maybe it'll stop them from doing it. And maybe we would miss out on Bill Belichick fishing into his sock for the flag like he does. It's one of my favorite moments. All right, let's crank through these last few ones. Bradley Fletcher is going to the Patriots. Chris, you wanted to talk about this.
Oh, well, he lost his confidence in Philly last year to the point where he was getting burned on a regular basis and was basically a laughingstock. And no doubt in my mind, the Patriots will turn him into a Pro Bowl cornerback.
I hope so. That would be awesome. Stevie Johnson is going to the San Diego Chargers.
Well, Mark, we kind of thought he was going to join Bradley Fletcher and go to the Patriots, but he's chosen to maybe be quarterbacked by a team without Phillip Rivers. It's got to be attractive.
I know.
I guess it must
be. I wish they released that article beforehand. Maybe they were holding off. I would have liked to see Stevie Johnson in New England.
Bigger role. I mean, they need wide receivers, that's for sure.
Malcolm Floyd, Keenan Allen, Stevie Johnson. You know, their running backs are weird. Green, Gates. It's a lot of, like, okay receivers after Keenan Allen, but not great receivers. And let's finish on a big note. Michael Crabtree still looking for work. Are you surprised, Chris Wessling?
Not surprised at all.
Visiting Miami, though, who Mike Tannenbaum apparently is a big fan of him.
Is that a concession that they won't be matching the Charles Clay offer?
I think signing Jordan Cameron was that concession. And if I was the Dolphins, I'd now like that Jordan Cameron move better because they're giving Jordan Cameron less money than they would have had to give Charles Clay. I'd take that.
I'll take
my chances.
I would rather have a healthy Jordan Cameron, definitely over Charles Clay, but that's the thing. You don't know if Jordan Cameron will stay healthy.
I guess all this business about the 49ers at the combine saying, oh, we want Michael Crabtree back. Well, okay, yeah. You've had a nice month to sit on that.
Right. They don't want him back too much. I guess that was just hot air.
Well, Matt Maiocco of the CSN Bay Area said that if of all the teams on Michael Crabtree's wish list, the 49ers ranked 33rd.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go back there
at
all.
I would want to go to Miami, too. Sounds like fun if we have to leave here. All right, let's talk about who got better in free agency. That was a power-packed news, but we still have some time to talk about which teams we think got better in free agency over the last, I guess it's only been a week, but really even the pre-free agency period, everything that's happened. It's really the most interesting, busy time of team building in the whole year, I think, over the last 10 days. So let's start with Mark Sessler.
I'm going to go Seahawks, and it's not overly complex. I mean, you're a team that already was arguably the best, most talented team in football, certainly in the NFC, and you've added Jimmy Graham to the mix, addressing your biggest need, the passing game, which had issues down the stretch. You haven't just drafted someone that you hope will work. You've got a home run total playmaker here. He'll make Russell Wilson that much better. You lose Max Unger in the deal. That they definitely going to need to find some depth along the line. But other than that, this just makes Seattle heads and tails the best team in that division, probably the conference.
It's amazing because Seattle hasn't really done anything else.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a very simple move.
Yeah, and that one move is such a home run, and I agree with you, that they feel like one of the better teams. Do you think they're by far the favorites in the NFC or just a little bit ahead of the rest?
I think
It's a little early to talk about
this. We grade all this free agency by who acquires new players. I think the Packers won free agency. They re-signed their own guys. Mark made this point earlier. I've seen this pointed out in several places, that Julius Peppers is the only player on their entire roster right now who has ever played a down for another team other than the Packers. They do it the right way. They build through the draft. They sign their own. They extend their own. They kept Randall Cobb. They kept Brian Bulaga. And this is a team that controlled the NFC Championship game for 3.5 quarters. To me, they're right there with the Seahawks.
Well, you just gave away your team that got better in free agency. There it is.
They're one of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the best teams in free agency are the teams that don't even need it. And Green Bay, it's a huge thumb to the nose to everyone else that says, we're not even going to use this. There's three ways to get better. I'm going to touch this side. Because they build completely in-house. And I think that, you know, bad teams that don't have a quarterback have to desperately go out and find these other shiny parts. And it's a terrible cycle to be in. We've seen that with the same teams year after year. In Green Bay, when you have a good quarterback since 1992, you can build differently.
I think they have the deepest roster in the NFL, which is, it's crazy that they don't have any free agents that are a part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
The Packer Report .com, I believe, their Twitter account, was the first to uncover that Julius Peppers is currently the only member of the roster that's ever played for any other team. Isn't that wild, TD?
Something Wes pointed out about 12 seconds ago, but when you can get that point home twice.
That's why he's furrying it. I was trying to organize and see what was going on. You know, I understand, Dan,
but
you're out there. I feel your pain. Sometimes you miss the point.
You'll have that.
I like Wes's angle better because he gave me credit for that when it definitely did not come from me. So,
All right,
Greg.
I
mentioned it on NFL Now this morning.
I'm going to take a five-minute timeout. You guys just take over the show. I've been suspended.
Well, I would add the Colts as a winner.
Okay.
We said over and over again in November and December that this was an offense that is the most explosive in the league when it's not being held hostage by Trent Richardson and an injury-ravaged Reggie Wayne. So they upgraded. I mean, Frank Gore is the opposite of Trent Richardson. He's extremely reliable, and Richardson was not reliable. And Reggie Wayne, just his body broke down. It's not his fault. But Andre Johnson caught 85 passes last year, closed out the season in the season finale with a 10-catch, 134-yard game, proving he still had plenty left in the tank.
Preach.
If he can catch 85 passes from, Mallett and Fitzpatrick and Savage, he can
Forget Case Keenum.
Catch 100 from Andrew Luck.
Well, I mean, and then so we were just glowing over Ted Thompson, and the Colts are a different – Gregson's a totally different type of team, a wheeler and dealer. He wants to sign people. There are other ways to get it done too, and the Colts feel like one of those let's get over the top. We want to challenge the Patriots. We have our sights set on them. You go add Frank Gore, Andre Johnson, you think they're good enough to get there. I don't know.
Well, I hope you haven't already – one of you hasn't already made this point, but the Colts – last year, whereas the Packers led the league in having the most drafted players on their team, the Colts led the league in having the most free agents on their team. And that was last year. That was before they signed Todd Harriman, who's going to start for them, Kendall Langford, who will play for them. You mentioned Andre Johnson. Trent Cole's a good sign for them. They bring back Mike Adams, as he said. Like that, I like – you can't really fault – they have to do – things in free agency.
I don't know if Kendall Langford, Trent Cole, and the return of Robert Mathis will stop LeGarrette Blount in the playoffs, but but I like what they've done on offense.
I like thinking that teams would have to strategize just to stop LeGarrette Blount.
This team, this team certainly has to.
He only has one good game every year. My winner, one of my winners, but I guess it's my main winner, I'm going to give it to the Buffalo Bills. Now, I didn't love the money that they gave to Charles Clay. I don't love the Buffalo tax that they had to give to LeSean McCoy or Matt Castle, for that matter. But I do think Matt Castle is a significant upgrade from E.J. Manuel, even though Wes disagrees.
Totally disagree.
I do think LeSean McCoy is a significant upgrade from C.J. Spiller, which no one's going to disagree about. And I do think overall they've made their team much better with Percy Harvin and Charles Clay. So even if the money is a little crazy, like they had the cap room, and this is a much better team right now than they were a month ago. And they were already pretty good. They're a dangerous team.
Yeah, you also, I mean, it's hard to always come back to this point. It's probably one reason that I almost went Jets here. But I have to leave the Jets off the list. I mean, they did some nice. They were aggressive.
Why?
Like the Bills. Well, because you don't have a quarterback.
Dan was offended. He saw our show rundown, and he said, typical that we left the Jets.
Well, they've
the list.
Gotten a lot of attention on this show, and I think that they, at least unlike during the Glacier phase, went out and said, we're going to go bring back players that mean something to the organization and to our fans, and we're going to throw a lot of money. Now, that's got to work.
Yeah, but they brought in one big difference maker. I guess two. You got to give Marshall a difference maker. He's a difference maker too. So they had two. Buffalo, to me, brought in difference makers. I mean, Harvin is a difference maker. Clay is a good addition. Hughes was a big re-signing. McCoy's obviously. I mean, these are
what does it mean
prime time players?
Like, if you are, let's say, it is Matt Cassel for 11 games and EJ Manuel for 5. What is the difference? How many more games does this team win?
Means you're the prettiest 8-8 team in the league. They're basically the Rams in the AFC.
Their defense at least has the potential to be good enough, and with all those weapons around them, that I don't know, you can win. Some bad quarterbacks have had 11-12 win seasons.
Yeah.
And this was a team I think was naturally going to fall off of what they did last year. So I think what these moves are doing, if nothing else, is kind of preventing that from happening. Because it was going to be tough to go 9-7 with that type of quarterback play again.
Who goes second place behind the 12-4 Patriots next year?
I wish. One of these years it's going to end. So those were our best. Those were our teams that who got better in free agency. The Colts, the Packers, the Bills, and the Seahawks. But who got worse in free agency? Let's start with Mr. Wesseling.
You know, there are a lot of obvious answers here, but one that kind of has flown been below the radar, a team that, and this may have been led by Damashek tramping through the newsroom every day after the season, who's going to give the Patriots the hardest game in the AFC this year? He thought it would be the Steelers, that they would they would be the biggest contender.
I thought you were about to say the Texans, because Damashek is a huge Texans guy now.
Anyway.
Of late.
I don't get that. Sorry.
I don't get the Texans thing.
Yeah, I don't get the Texans thing. Sorry, your point.
Well, they had a lot of needs. We thought they might fix the defensive backfield. They lose Troy Polamalu. They don't really fix safety. They don't fix cornerback. They don't do anything there. Jason Worlds not only leaves, he retires. They don't want James Harrison back, even though James Harrison was the best defensive player on the field for them in many of their second half games. I don't see how they've gotten better at all. I think they've gotten worse with all the losses they've had on defense.
I mean, but that's kind of in a Packers-ish way. Unfortunately, they lost more people than the Packers. The Steelers are never big free agent operatives. They just aren't.
The difference is they don't manage their cap well, and they have to let some of their good young players walk away over the last couple of years. And Ted Thompson would not let that happen.
Their first-round draft picks haven't panned out like they used to pan out. Mm. You're still waiting for Ryan Shazier and Jarvis Jones. You don't know what they are right now.
They're a team, I agree, that should be great. And then you look at like the cap numbers, and then you start realizing why things can get a little crazy. When Lamar Woodley is on their cap this year for $8.5 million, he's been on two teams since. And you have Cortez Allen at $7 million cap hit, Cameron Hayward at $7 million. You know, guys that aren't great players, when they're that high up, then you get into problems. I mean, you think the whole division is kind of
like. Well, yeah, once I started thinking about it, the Ravens lose Torrey Smith and Pernell McPhee. They usually draft well. They'll be at least 9-7 or 10-6. They usually are. The Bengals, I mean, we say this every year. We thought they might go out and get a quarterback to challenge Andy Dalton after another embarrassing first-round playoff loss, and they said shortly thereafter, we're not going to do that. I don't care what else they do with the roster.
Yeah, they're rather inactive otherwise.
They're not a winner if they still have that.
They did bring back Mike Nugent.
Well, there you go. The Browns, they lose Kyle Shanahan, Josh Gordon. Their quarterback's in rehab. They signed Josh McCown, who was underwhelming to Mark and other Browns fans. Jordan Cameron's gone. Jabal Sheard's gone. I mean, the Browns aren't a better team.
Not at all. They probably lost more talent than some of these other teams in the division, honestly, when they can't afford to on any level.
That's a good point. Well, they did add Tremont Williams and Randy Starks. We like those moves. But
paid
you're right.
A lot of money.
Overall, they've lost more talent. You're right. The whole division, very quiet. Was really an interesting, fun division.
Maybe we go back to 1985 when the AFC Central winner was 8-8.
I like that. Who's your loser here?
Let's talk about a team that's not going to be 8-8 this year, and that's the 49ers.
Mm.
They might be 3-13 because, yes, you signed Torrey Smith, and I don't know why he decided to go there. But, I mean, we talked about it. Chris Borland came out of nowhere. That's a disaster. Patrick Willis is gone. Frank Gore is gone. Whether you like Michael Crabtree or not, he's out the door. I mean, Justin Smith probably won't be back. The core of your defense, the heart of it, right up the gut, is completely shredded and gone. That was what the Niners were under Harbaugh. And when they were on offense, they were running the ball with Gore. And really, at this point, you got to turn to a second-year running back, and Reggie Bush, unless they go add other people to anchor what is what they say Jim Tomsula says wants to be a run-heavy team again. I don't see it. I think there's a lot. This is another team that's going to go out and draft for need.
Well, they brought back Blaine Gabbert.
Again, you know, if it's not Mike Nugent, it's Blaine Gabbert. He's killing us with his comebacks.
It's a wonderful bit you have going.
How do I logic that?
I'm just saying that one kind of flew under the radar.
Yes, it did, and he might play. I mean, that's scary.
You know who's running their offense too? It's a guy that was the guy that Jim Harbaugh thought was the third or fourth best offensive coach they had. You know? He wasn't the offensive coordinator under Jim Harbaugh, who's a great offensive mind. He was the next in command after Greg Roman, who also is gone. So it's just that whole thing to me, that's my biggest concern with them on top of all the players they lost.
It feels like a pond in late summer. The water's not fresh. It's just old, smelly water. Come on. We got to get some rainwater in there and clean this place out.
Fetid.
If the 49ers want to use that in any marketing brochures, like, feel free.
Yeah.
We're old, smelly water. I can already see myself in a future podcast in August talking about the 49ers like I was talking about the Cowboys going into last year.
It'll be 5-1 and Tom Sula's like a local hero.
I kept like trying to say, a lot of you guys had the Cowboys as the worst five teams in the league, and I kept just saying, they'll probably be 7-9. They have a good quarterback. They have Tony Romo. I do kind of think maybe everyone's going to end up slamming the 49ers as this total disaster so much where, you know, they still have a lot of talented guys on the team. They have Kaepernick, and maybe they'll be a little more like a 7-9 type of team. That's all I have.
It's wise words from our supervisor.
My team that was got worse over the last week, and this could get me in trouble with one particular shadowy league figure, was the Denver Broncos. And I'm just looking at the facts, and here are the facts. They have re-signed Virgil Green and signed Owen Daniels to replace Julius Thomas. That's a big-time loss. They have signed Shelly Smith to replace Orlando Franklin. That's a big loss.
She'll be good.
They have lost Terrence Knighton. They have lost Raheem Moore. To pick up a safety to replace Raheem Moore, they picked up Darian Stewart, who the Ravens had no use for whatsoever. So you just kind of look at the players that have gone out the door, and you look at the players that have come in, and it hasn't been really a very good offseason for the Broncos.
Well, their entire future depends on which Peyton Manning shows up. I don't really even care about those moves. Julius Thomas is the big one. But
I don't care about you, Wes.
No, I mean, Julius Thomas is huge.
This is my team that lost.
Raheem Moore isn't a huge loss. Pot Roast wasn't a natural fit for Wade Phillips.
There are four of our top 30 players on our 101 free agent list. Look at that. Number 26, 16, 29, number 3.
Julius Thomas is the one that really stings because their offense sung when he was in there. But I still think it all depends on which Peyton Manning shows up.
And can Peyton Manning effectively roll out 25 times a game? They're not going to ask them to do that. But, I mean, it's a whole new offense. Or it's some cobbled version of Kubiak's offense and what Peyton Manning's lobbying for.
That's one argument, though. I think that they could be better. I'll take Gary Kubiak over Adam Gase. I'm a Gary Kubiak fan.
I think success everywhere he's gone.
Has offense. Will travel. That's a good thing. But
well, I'd take him over Adam Gase and Jay Cutler.
Right. I would too. But, you know, not a lot of teams lost four quality starters. So those are teams that got worse in
free
agency.
What about the Cowboys?
Who got worse? I was going to say, do we have any others?
I know they just signed Greg Hardy, but they built their entire attack last year on DeMarco Murray, the offensive player of the year. And look, I know you're going to make fun of me. It would not surprise me if Darren McFadden does well in Dallas because of his running style. He's always been more dependent than other running backs on his offensive line. He needs a big hole to run through, and I think Jerry and Steven Jones probably think, hey, we turned DeMarco Murray's career around. We can do the same thing for Darren McFadden, but that's a huge, huge gamble to, you know, when your whole foundation was DeMarco Murray last year.
I think that's a fair prediction for McFadden, and they certainly liked him for specific reasons, but it also feels like a team that is going to have to go out and draft a starting running back unless they make a move here or some sort of a trade. And doesn't Trent Richardson tell us that the last time they talked about, listen, this running back coming up through the draft, this is a guaranteed, no issue, going to be a total stud. We don't know anything. No one knows that for sure.
Yeah.
That's a lot of risk for a run-based offense.
I guess they're getting Sean Lee back.
To play running back?
Well, I'm just saying that's one big talented player coming over. I think they can draft a running back. I mean, Jared.
They can draft them, but it's like a lot. Actually, outside of DeMarco Murray, they've had some big misses when they've drafted running backs.
The best running back in the draft is coming off an ACL injury.
No one mentioned the Eagles here as a team that got worse. So is it safe to say we're not buying? I think if Dan was here, he might have picked the Eagles, in fairness. But is it fair to say we're not buying all the doom and gloom about Chip Kelly's crazy month?
Well, I don't know if they're better or worse. I've been taking a wait-and-see attitude toward what they're doing. If Sam Bradford is who Chip Kelly thinks he is or who he thinks he can turn him into, then they're better. But they could be much worse next year.
I'm with you because, if anything, Chip Kelly certainly feels like people saying he has no plan. Well, I think he very much is determined to do something his way, and I don't want to judge it right now. I mean, they imported a lot of injury risk type guys,
yeah,
and let a lot of talent go, but who knows? That's a team that could still win 11 games.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think they have brought in a lot of talent, that his moves have been bold and a little crazy. I'm not so sure they're worse. It wouldn't surprise me if they're better. I want to see how this team comes together.
They didn't make the playoffs last year. They could be better than that.
Right. I want to see how Sam Bradford looks in their offense. So it's like, if you look at their moves one by one, I don't think any one of them is crazy. But when you kind of add it all up, it's a lot of moves. No Patriots on this list either. You guys just...
They're going to be 12-4.
I know, but they lost Darrell Revis.
But they've been 12-4 100 times without Darrell Revis.
They lost Will Fork.
Yeah. Bring in the old medieval charm music.
Yeah, what are you doing? Are you trying to convince us to rip on your team?
No, I'm just asking the question.
He's got his legs up on the table now.
Throne of Ease. This is great. You know what the Throne of Ease is? The Throne of Ease is, I don't care if they go 9-7. I'm serious. They won, I'm happy. This has been great. It's been the best 14 years you could ever ask for. If it's over, I'm cool with that.
Who's managed the salary cap better than the Patriots since Bill Belichick got there? No, not a team in the league, so it doesn't bother me what they've done.
I like what you're saying. All right, that's going to be it for today's show. We got a lot of stuff.
I've been waiting for this since the top of
this. This has been a long show here.
I know. You've shown to be an expert in this field, so I want you to tell me, what do these five things have in common? Last Holiday, Just Right, Beauty Shop, Hairspray, Taxi. What are those five things? What do they all have in common?
Their movies?
Queen Latifah movies, buddy.
Queen Latifah movies.
Because it was pretty surprising how you knew Bringing Down the House was a Queen Latifah movie.
Yeah. No, I could have gotten that. The first few is where you could.
I lost you on that? You didn't see Last Holiday?
I don't know.
I never heard of any.
Well,
Taxi
is
a television
Greg's
show.
The expert here.
Taxi, there was the movie with Jimmy Fallon that quickly ended his movie career. Was that Taxi?
Yes, it was.
That was it. He would have never thought that he would have bounced back that strong as he has.
I know, mercifully, right? Ended his movie career.
Well, that is a strong note to finish on. Queen Latifah's
out with a bang.
IMDb page. Next week, we're going to talk about, I don't know. Who should we talk about next week?
I think
next show.
Well, we're a show that's based on news as it happens, so we'll find out.
And a lot of...
Oh, man. Hey.
I forget. We're not coming back next week. We're going to be back on Friday with another show. Get ready. We got to come up with some topics. Until then, Dan Hansis will be back for Friday's show. Until then, this is Greg Rosenthal. I'm signing off for Mark Sessler, Chris Wesseling, TD Behind the Glass. We'll see you Friday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.